Melinda.
Oh, hi, this is Gabriella.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. Matter of fact, I was just downstairs cleaning the kitchen, and I was like, oh, my gosh, 5:57. I rushed upstairs, too. I almost forgot about it. So, but I'm here.
And you are, I didn't discover until yesterday, you're somewhere close to me geographically, yes? 956.
Where are you living?
I'm in Port Isabel.
I'm in Brownsville, and you know what? Matter of fact, I saw you, Suzanne is one of my friends on Facebook, and she posted something a while back, and
yes,
you know, and I'm going through something perfectly aligned with what this is about, and I said, you know what, I always follow spirit, so I got to take this course, and I know it definitely is going to help me, so.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and it's that serendipity or 6 degrees of separation, whichever one rings truer. Suzanne and Bud have become family. I moved here 2 years ago, and my husband is a chef, and so we discovered them because of the vegetables. I spend Friday afternoons out there. It is my version of church. And I'm not real close with my parents, but they've adopted me and vice versa. So
that's wonderful. You know what? They're wonderful people, and you can't get any better than nature being your church. I'll tell you that.
That is for sure. Sure. So how do you know them? Do you know them from the farmer's market?
I know them from veggies, yeah, from going to their house. And then, on Facebook we connected. And, you know, I don't go there often. As a matter of fact, it's been a while since I've gone over there. But I'm thinking about going back on Fridays and getting more. I really want to get into the seasonal, what's out right now, and really
right.
support the farmers and non-GMO. And I think it's important what we put into our bodies. And that's the best thing
yes.
that you can put into your
yes,
body,
yes,
you know?
Yes. Awesome. Well, I'm going to tell you just a little bit about what the program, and then I'm going to come back. And I want to use tonight, there is another person that's enrolled in the program, and she and I met for the first time last week and had this same kind of a call, get acquainted. And then hopefully we'll get both of you guys on the same page, because this is much more powerful work when it's done in community.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's easier to see yourself reflected in somebody else. And it's also very deep work that sometimes you need that release of someone else having the focus. So you can kind of catch your breath and then jump back in.
Right. Do I need to gather any of the – I did go through the Art of Self-Kindness and all that last night. I started printing out some stuff. And do I need any of that right now or not?
The only one that you need – we're going to go through the things that were in the this is where we're going or the module before.
Okay, yes.
Get back in there. So there's a worksheet that's called The Truth I Know About My World.
Uh-huh.
It's in the welcome here. We're going to do that one for sure. And that's
okay.
The only thing that you need for this evening.
Okay. I'm going to pull it up on my computer. That's fine.
Awesome. All of our calls are recorded, and I will post them up. So if you want to go back and listen to something, you have the ability to do that. So because sometimes I know it's hard to take notes and really be connected to the conversation as well. And
right.
These calls are meant to be totally a one-on-one. What do you have questions about? Listen to the recorded information. So, a little bit about myself and how this program came about. I have been on a weight loss quest for, probably 20 years. I come from a family full of heavy women, and 2 years ago, my kids were all graduated, and I said, I'm going to find the solution to this. And it turns out it had almost nothing to do with what I was eating and everything to do with emotions that I never learned how to feel and thoughts that had been handed down to me by other people. And as these tools unfolded for me, that's how my business came to life. I went from working a pretty cardboard job, kind of checked out life, just kind of going through the motions, to I have to figure out where I can, how I can reach women who are on this same round and round
journey.
Circle. Yeah. Just starting and then losing focus and beating the crap out of themselves for it and coming back. And this particular program, this exact program, is meant to introduce you to a lot of those concepts and to let you experience what coaching is, because it's kind of like hiring a trainer at a gym. If you've not been a person who exercised, how do you know if you're hiring a good one or a bad one and what a workout looks like? So we will touch on 6 different areas. We'll go maybe medium deep, and then there's an opportunity at the end, if you think you're ready to go and do something deeper, you'll have an idea of what you're investing in at that point. So there are 2 people. The other woman's name is Jamie. She is from Denver, Colorado, 30-something, about 50 or 60 pounds is her weight loss goal, single, professional, travels a lot. And her words were that she only really takes care of herself when there's a man involved. And she'd like to solve that before she gets into whatever her next relationship is. And she found me on the internet. She had never heard of me before, was being curious about coaching, and she is very familiar with the work of my teacher. So I trained under Brooke Castillo from the Life Coach School. I don't know if that's familiar. Brooke Castillo?
No. What type of work does she do?
So this is, and I'll post this up later. It's one of the posts for the next lesson. This is what she taught me. Every action you take, so in my case, eating a family-sized bag of Doritos in one sitting, every action, whatever that action is driven by a feeling. And everything that you feel is driven by something that you think. So if
something
you
can
figure out something that you think.
Think, okay, yes.
Think, right. So if you can figure out what you're feeling, so for instance, Doritos used to be my big thing. When I'm sitting eating a bag of Doritos, I am feeling, let's say frustrated was one of the things I was feeling, or anxious. What was I thinking that was causing that anxious feeling? And the work takes a while, but once I got that, just that basic idea, okay, so if the feelings are being generated within my body, they're not coming from outside, and those feelings are coming from something that I'm thinking, I'm in total control. And that felt so powerful to me. Like, okay, so this I am interested in. And so then I started learning things about your brain and how your brain works and why it's so hard to break some of these habits and why it's more important for me to work on what I think than on what foods I'm going to put in my mouth. Because if I can truly shift the way I think, the actions will follow, because the actions are always driven by something I'm thinking. Okay? So that was totally different than anything I had ever been taught before. And as I worked with her, she said from the beginning, and it took a while for me to kind of buy in, that this is not just simple thought switching. It's not mantras, and it's not affirmations. It is truly going inside and going, of all the things that are possible for me to think, why does that one show up automatically? Why do I think that? Where did I get that? And then once I have that answer, then what else is equally true that might serve where I'm going? Okay, so we'll get into more of that, but as we go along, and it'll become a little clearer as we go through the lessons. But Jamie, the other participant in this program that will be with us on phone calls, she is aware of that teacher and had already seen some of her material.
Okay.
So tell me what drew you when you saw this and what your goals are as we go through to the end. So we'll finish December 17th, I think, is the last phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you hope to be different between now and then?
Okay. You want to know how I hope to be different or why I started or all
both.
Of it?
Both.
Okay.
Why did you click the button and invest in
I
yourself?
I clicked the button because I have been on a healing journey for a very long time. I started really doing a lot of energy work. I'm an energy healer. I'm a Reiki master. I'm a shamanic practitioner.
Ah.
I've done a lot of peeling the onion layers back and gone very deep.
Okay.
And so I am about 50 pounds overweight, I would say. And I've always, not always, but I stay that weight a lot. And I was molested. My first sexual abuse was from my brother at 5. And
okay.
I was raped at 14. I had a very, very difficult childhood growing up. I was abused.
Okay.
My first marriage, I was abused for 13 years, mentally, physically, emotionally, everything you could think of. He told me I was fat, I was ugly, I was a slut, and, you know, all of this. So a lot of the
yeah.
stuff I know that's inside of me is conditioning. And it's
yeah.
very hard for me to go and figure out by myself, how do I get rid of this, like, finally, once and for all, shed it? Because I think the a big thing for me is, even though I've done a lot of healing work on myself and with other practitioners, there's something still there, or else I wouldn't have this weight problem. And whether it's a
yes.
protection for some reason, I'm protecting myself from men or for whatever, from being hurt, I don't know. And I think that you have one of the keys for me, and that's why I mean, like I said, when I everything for me in my life, and I follow the dreaming world, and I've studied with Robert Moss and many other, Sandra Ingerman, I mean, I've been with many different teachers, and
okay.
when things come up in my life, I always look at it and I follow the trail. I follow the yellow brick road, and the yellow brick road, you popped up for whatever reason, I don't know, and I always follow through with it, because I know that there's a gold nugget there for me that's just going to help me so much. And so, you know, I've exercised, I've lost weight, I've gained it back. I don't eat a lot, but I think a lot of this has to do also, I feel guilty when I eat. So attaching a negative emotion to that may keep
okay.
the weight on subconsciously. I don't know. I don't have
okay.
the answer, you know. So
okay.
so my goal would be to really love my body, because I hate my body.
Yay. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me, so you've got some good tools coming in.
Yeah.
The most effective tool you've got is you are already connected to your body on some level. And I
yeah.
know that because you said, I follow, I pay attention to where intuition leads me.
Yes,
and
because my body is a GPS for when I'm connected
yes.
to spirit, very tremendously, but when other things, no.
Yes, yes. Okay, so that is the crux. So that puts you a step ahead in this work, because
okay.
most of the women that I encounter can't even hear that voice in their body. They're not even aware that it exists. So your awareness that you are being led is where I'm taking this. Okay?
Okay.
So if I can, so we're going to do a couple of things as we move through this, kind of the pace of this. Is first we're going to start figuring out how to quiet that voice in your head that talks ugly to you all the time. We're going to figure out why she does what she does and how to get her to become your partner instead of your protector, because
mm-hmm.
that's why she's there. She's there to protect you, and in your case, you needed protecting. But she does not serve. She's totally steeped in your history and in all of the negative things that happened to you or all the things that could happen to you. And so you're right. It keeps you on that negative bent.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to go
but
into your...
Okay.
Then we're
go
going to go into
sorry.
Your... No, that's okay. Then we're going to go into your stories and talk about what are the stories, the repetitive stories. So say you and I were to meet at a cocktail party, what are the things that you would tell me about your life? What are the stories that get practiced over and over, and how did they affect the way that you think? This is where it starts to differ from like traditional therapy or counseling, is that we don't really need to know whether those stories are true or not or did too much. We just need to identify what the stories are. And then start to separate the emotion from the story. Because the emotion happens when the story happens. So, for instance, your pain, I want to be careful. I've not had molestation or rape in my history. So I want to make sure that I'm honoring the pain of that. But for instance, let me change it to mine. So my the pain from my divorce, that happened 20 years ago. The story is true and some really ugly things happened to me, but the emotion of it happened 20 years ago. And so we start to separate emotion from fact. And then we start trying to figure out what do these emotions feel like in our body? So what does fear feel like in your body? What does anxiety feel like in your body? Actual sensation. Is it a tightening of your throat? Very similar to like chakra work. Is it in your belly? Is it in your head? So that your body starts to be your early warning sign. Before you're eating or doing something self-destructive, like, oh, I feel that pressure in my head again. I know that's connected with sadness. What am I sad about? And you're able to deal with emotions emotionally instead of with food. So you have some really great tools coming into this work to make it even more powerful. What's your comfort level speaking as freely as you and I are speaking here when it's a one-on-one conversation in a group?
I'm comfortable. I can tell you everything, and I no longer have a connection with what happened to me anymore because I've done so much work. I mean, you know, so much healing work. And so I'm very, very open. Yes.
Okay. So how in touch are you with the emotions that you currently feel? So if I said, what are the top five emotions you feel on any given week? What would be your list?
Well, you know, I'm not that in touch with my emotions. And I can't really recognize, like, if you were to, like, I can't really recognize my emotions, really. I'm really not in touch with my emotions, but I'm going to be honest about that.
Okay. And is it because, do you know, first of all, that's normal. Most women can identify maybe five. They feel more than that, but they're not aware of them. Okay, so in the tools for that first section, the welcome section, there are two graphics, and they're feelings wheels. And so I would print those out and keep them where you can see them. They're just kind of prompts to go, you know, like, what is it I'm feeling? And instead of having to try to grab the words out of the air, sometimes looking at those charts will help you kind of zone in on what it is that you're feeling.
And now that we're talking about this, I feel a little fear coming up as you're talking about this. So I may be afraid of being in touch with my feelings.
Well, and again, so that makes sense because what do you do with them? And that's kind of where I entered this work 2 years ago. Like, I kind of knew it was feelings. I was aware that I ate to squelch feelings. But then who wanted to look at awful feelings? And what did I do with them once I discovered them? I had no tools to know what to do with it if I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So fear and doubt are going to show up often during the time that we're together. And I want to invite you to see them as a positive thing. Your brain does what it knows how to do. And any time that you're growing or you're breaking the regular patterns that you have, fear and doubt show up because they think you're in danger. Okay? So just like a road sign, if you're reading a map or a GPS and you're like, am I still on 48? Am I still on Highway 48? Yes, I'm still on Highway 48 because I saw the sign. Fear and doubt are your road signs that you're on to something.
Okay?
And we'll talk about some ways to deal with that. So when you're feeling that fear just now as you were talking to me, can you tell me where you feel it in your body? Like,
in my solar
in your
plexus.
Throat? Your solar plexus.
I actually feel it in my solar plexus.
Okay. And is it like a squeezing or a burning?
Like a squeezing.
Okay. So you want to pay attention to any of those little clues that you see. And as we shine the light, you'll start to see them more often. I wrote them down when I was beginning. So I would have a piece of paper that has feelings, and I'd say fear, solar plexus, squeezing.
Okay.
The value of that is in our mind, fear can have 1,000 different definitions. There's fear of all kinds of things. fear in your body is going to usually have maybe three or four different manifestations. Okay, your body knows before your head knows. So it's a way, again, to go, okay, so I think I'm okay, but I'm feeling that squeezing in my solar plexus. So something is scaring me. What is it?
Okay.
Okay, so that's kind of that's your starting point. I love that you know that. Okay.
So I'm going to be tracking.
Yeah, exactly. So curiosity starts to take over, right? You're like, wow, wonder why I do that.
Right.
And that's the magic that comes out of coaching. Is that you start to be curious. It's like, oh, okay, so when I understand that there's a reason that I do this illogical stuff, that makes it easier to love me. And it also builds empathy because you're not crazy. There are reasons why you take any action. There's a reason why you eat. There's a reason why you do anything else that doesn't serve a healthy body. Okay? Weight is our body's most effective way to say, hey, I need you to pay attention. I need your attention. Okay? So let me ask a couple other questions just so I get to know you a little better. Okay. What would you say, so one of the other tools in that first welcome section is called permission slips. And very much like you would write, I don't know, do you have kids?
I have a 20-year-old son. No, I'm married. I'm my second marriage. He's wonderful. He loves
just like
me.
He doesn't
abuse me. So I'm very
lucky. He and I are going to be best friends. He's going to like, don't you have a phone call today?
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, so just like you used to write a permission slip for your kid, you know, Aaron has my permission to be absent from school or whatever, or Aaron has my permission to go on the field trip. Sometimes there's places where we need to give ourselves permission, and most often it comes around self-care. So the way we feed ourselves, hydrate ourselves, sleep ourselves, relax ourselves. So what do you think that you need your own permission for that you don't have right now, and you're kind of waiting maybe for outside permission or for life to slow down or any?
I give myself permission to relax and enjoy life.
Okay. And what keeps you from doing it now?
I don't know. I'm just not doing it.
Okay.
I don't know what keeps me. You know, my mother's deaf, and I take care of her, but I have ladies that stay with her 24/7 at her home. She's deaf and she's disabled, but she's been one of my main abusers, and she still abuses me. Matter of fact, yesterday, you know, I'm the one that does everything for her. I take her groceries, I take her to the doctor, I take her shopping, I pick up the maids and drop them off and pay them and buy her groceries. And like yesterday, she's like, oh, I was supposed to take her shopping. So she texts me. She goes, well, you know, you're a bitch and you're no good and you're not worthy. She's told me this my entire life, and I'm almost 34 years old. And I'm still in a relationship with my mom, obviously. I have a brother who lives here, but he helps me with her monetarily, but he does not see her. He hasn't seen her in a couple of years. So I'm the one that gets the brunt of it. So it's a little difficult when you have a mother that's texting you all the time, or when I see her, you know, as soon as I get there, she hasn't been diagnosed with mental illness, but I know that she is mentally ill. Her doctor just put her on some medication. When I grew up, she would say there were spies and there was cameras in the house and she would throw plates. So I did not grow up in a normal environment at all. So I don't know. There's a lot of stuff relating to my mom, and I'm just putting boundaries with her, and I feel a lot better than I have in years. I'm going out. I don't feel guilty when I'm doing stuff with my friends, you know, and so, giving myself permission to relax and enjoy life, maybe part of that has to do with my mom.
Right. So these are places where we're just kind of poking. So look at that permission slip. And I don't know how much of the material online you've consumed, but I'll say it in person, voice to voice. Our temptation as humans is to get into some discovery work like this. And when you see these worksheets, like, okay, so I intellectually understand it, but I don't have time to do it. And so we look at it, but we've never actually sit down and put pen to paper so that we go inside. Because the exercise of sitting down and doing it, the writing, lets you go inside, lets you look inside your own brain and see what's there. So the exercises are important because they are the piece, they're the way that you're going to get the pieces that we're looking for. Now, another piece of good news is with all of that thing that you just described, your brother is removed physically, you're her complete caretaker. She has constant access to you, it sounds like, to be abusive via text if you're not in her space. None of that has to change in order for your reality to be different.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need her to be any different than she is, and your weight can be different, your quality of life can be different, because you have total control over the meaning that you put on anything that gets said to you. Right? Even long-term patterns can get changed. They started when you were a kid and had nothing but your defense mechanism. But now with your 44-year-old brain, you can learn to put a different meaning on your interaction with her. A different meaning means a different feeling gets generated in your body. And it's another one of those places that if you see yourself start to shift, then it's like, okay, so she could be the most abusive person in the world, and you can still maintain your equilibrium. And you can do it by still being kind to her. It doesn't mean that you have to have a separation. It doesn't mean that you have to start being hateful or passive-aggressive.
So is what we're doing here going to help me get there?
Yes.
Awesome. I love it.
How far you get in the 8 weeks is dependent on how, you know, of course, on how much you consume. So
right.
If you're consuming and you're doing the worksheets and you're showing up on the calls, you're going to see a significant change in this 8 weeks. You will for sure have a glimpse on whether you, by the end of 8 weeks, it will be clear whether you need more, like you've gotten enough of a shift and there's no way you're stopping, or if you've got enough for right now and it's time to take a break. That's usually a really easy decision by the end of this period. Okay? So if you're near the computer, if you, I don't know if you have a way to print it out, I want to do the last worksheet together. I did this one with Jamie, and so I'd love to have your information as well.
Okay,
with
the worksheet. I have the worksheets. I brought them upstairs for my sister.
Okay. Yeah.
Do I need them? Do I need it right now?
You need the one that says the truth I know about my world.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay, I have that.
Okay. So this is our tool to measure how much you shift. Okay. Because every decision you make all day long, from what to eat to what time to go to see your mom to what you watch on TV, is driven by some practiced thought that you've practiced so much that it becomes your criteria. Okay? So I want to take, we're going to take just a poll today to see what you believe to be true about these five different areas today, and then we will do the same worksheet the very last time we meet.
Okay.
Because the changes are so subtle that it will seem as if you've all, so however you think on December 17th, the last phone call, your brain will think that you have always thought that way, and it will be hard to see the shift. So that's why the writing is important, because it lets us take a snapshot of what you believe today, October the 25th, and then we get to do the same thing, take a look inside your brain on December the 17th and measure the difference. Okay, so you want to be sure and date it at the top. So
yeah.
And this is a process that I do with clients every 3 months to be able to, again, to validate in their own brain that they are making progress, that they have shifted, that they have tapped into their own internal wisdom. Okay? So okay. This process, if you could imagine, every time we get together for a phone call, is the equivalent of us sitting, holding hands, everybody's safe, and we are going to open the doors to your mind. And your first inclination is going to be to shut the doors because most of them are pretty messy. They're going to teach you the skill of cleaning your mind, cleaning your thoughts the same way you clean your house or your car, anything else that you care about and take good care of. Okay? So we're going to walk in. We're going to look around. We're going to open some doors. And if it ever gets to be where it's too emotional or too painful, we can back right back out and come back in when you're feeling safe. Okay? So
okay.
My job is to create that safe space and to encourage you to go a little deeper, a little deeper. Your job is to go as far as you can, but then call time if you ever feel like you're going too far. Okay? All right. So let's talk about what you believe to be true today about weight loss. What do you believe about weight loss?
It's hard.
Okay. What
so
else?
I should write this down, correct?
Yes.
About weight loss in general or weight loss connected to me?
Either way. They will dovetail. How you think is how you think.
When I lose weight, I always gain it back.
Okay. So it's temporary.
Let me see. Let me kind of feel into this.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it helps to close your eyes for a minute and just kind of get in touch with that space.
You know, this happened to me a few months ago. I went to my doctor, Dr. Duvet in Port Isabel.
Uh-huh.
And I had lost like 15 pounds, and when I weighed myself, I was actually surprised, and I got scared. I got scared. It's scary to lose weight. I was afraid there was something wrong with me. I'm like, oh, my God, do I have cancer? This has been a theme in my life, a recurring theme in the past 10 years, is fear and anxiety of my death. So if there's something wrong with my body, I think like, oh, my God, am I going to die? I'm not kidding you.
Okay, so that's an important one to write down. It's dangerous. You question if the weight loss is real or if there's something wrong with you.
Right, so I just put it as dangerous.
Yes. Dangerous, okay?
Let me think some more. What else? What do I believe about weight loss? Weight loss.
How have you lost weight in the past? Is it Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig?
No, never any of that. Really more exercise and getting rid of bread and boxed food and chips and all that stuff. You know, eating really clean, like chicken and veggies and salads, which is what I really stick to now. But I really feel a lot of my stuff is I don't know, it's with my mind. And I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I'm sure I know this is going to unravel in the next 8 weeks.
I'm excited as I can be about that, and I think I'm hearing a smile on your face. So
I'm very excited. I'd like to go deeper.
Okay.
So, I cannot think of two other things for the weight loss.
Okay, so we'll leave it at three. That's what Jenny was able to come up with. Okay, and you may find more as you go along or in between now and the next phone call. Okay, so what about food? Food in general, what do you believe about food?
Food is my enemy.
Okay. Okay.
I feel guilty when I eat food.
Okay, so even good food feels guilty.
Yes.
Okay. No judgment. No thought that comes out of your mouth is right or wrong. It's neutral.
No, for you, I know you're not judging me, but I'm judging myself.
Yes, yes, yes. I know. But, yes, but I want to make sure you know I want to model that for you.
Okay.
That whatever. So we're going to do a lot of this kind of stuff where you're really having to go deep, and it feels a little bit awkward in the beginning. But as we move through and trust builds between us, the awkwardness will go away. But there's still a temptation to censor ourselves. Because we're so used to saying what's politically correct,
mm-hmm.
what's acceptable. So in this environment, there is no judgment. Whatever comes to your mind, is the right answer, and it's neutral. It's
right.
Not
there
negative
is no
or
right
positive.
Or wrong. It's just my own individual process, you know. I mean, there really is no right or wrong. It's the self-critic. You know how that is.
Yeah,
so
and we are going to –
like.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel guilty when I eat food. And so my next one, I don't know if it relates to that or if you think I should change it. I feel bad. I feel like I'm a bad person, like I shouldn't be eating.
Okay. So that is shame.
Okay, I feel ashamed.
And based on your history, that's not surprising. Okay?
And I don't relate to shame. I know there's shame there, but I have disassociated myself from my body and physically and my emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how to get back there. That's why you're going to help me.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you a little insider tip to where you'll know when it's shame, when it shows up. Again, most people will tell you they do not feel shame. And if they're human and breathing, they do. Some of us have more of it than others. But what you said is, I feel like when I eat, I am a bad person.
Yeah.
That you're broken somehow. That's shame. The difference between shame and guilt would say I did something bad. Shame says I am bad. Okay?
Oh,
so,
that's weird. I say that a lot. I mean, I don't say that a lot, but I say I asked my husband too, and he confirmed, like the reaffirmation, a reconfirmation. Is it bad? What I did, was it bad? So I guess I carry that with me. I guess shame.
Yeah, very subtle, right? But it seeps through. That's why this paper is going to be it's going to be one of those papers you hold for a while, because it is an awareness of something that's always been going on, and it definitely shapes the way you make decisions. Okay.
So feeling bad or broken is shame, and doing something bad is guilt.
Is guilt. Right.
Okay, cool. That'd be good for me, so I can have some kind of connection to my feelings and my body and how I feel in my body. Okay.
Yes. So the other beautiful thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to say beautiful and shame in the same sentence, shame grows like cancer in private. So think about that. Anything that we're really ashamed of, we usually don't share that. We keep it to ourselves. And that silence lets it metastasize. Shame absolutely cannot live when it's given air. Once you speak it, it starts dying. And so that is a powerful thing. Letting that shame out of your body leaves an empty space where something else can come in. It's that letting go of some of these things will create a space for your body to have some of your attention. Okay? So before we move to the next section, I want to just share Jamie's answers, because you guys would normally be hearing each other talk. So on weight loss, her answers were restrictive, temporary, so that one you share, and necessary to find a partner. So she believes that weight loss, in order for her to find another love relationship, that weight loss has to happen.
I have another one, too. I have one. Now it just came to me. Let me write it down real quick before it goes away. To be accepted, I have to lose weight. To be accepted. Okay.
Right. It means acceptance. I like that. Okay. And on food, her answers were comforting, calms me, and out of control.
She sounds like she's more connected to her emotions than I am, but I do want to say, maybe you can help me, and I'm just putting this out there. I notice, and you know, I grew up a health nut because my dad, you know, he raises that way. When my dad was in the picture when my parents were married, before he left the marriage, so I'm always cooking. I'm always cooking and preparing food, having it ready. You know, I like to have it ready. I like to be around food. And I don't understand where that's coming in with emotions. There's a connection. Like today, I'm prepping Brussels sprouts because I'm going to braise them tomorrow with bacon, and I'm thinking about all this delicious food, and I love food. I really love food. But I have all these feelings connected to it.
So isn't that so – that, again, those are the entry levels. The little, if you imagine just punching holes where little sprigs of light are coming through, say, a curtain, that's what's happening. Because in your brain, that's what's happening. And part of you loves food. The creativity of it, the craft, the love maybe
I love
that's associated with
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, I love to cook.
Right? But at the same time, it's the enemy. And it's got guilt and shame associated with it.
So should I write down I love food also?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because they don't all have to agree with each other. But
and they don't,
when you
they
look
don't
at,
all have to be not a positive thing. I mean,
no, they
I mean,
don't
not
all have
all...
to not be a positive. No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
But look at what that sets up. There's not really a place for you to win in that. Right? Because you believe both things at the same time.
Right.
Or you believe one and then it switches. So when you're in that love place with it and then you start to eat and all of a sudden the shame comes over, that's confusing. Like, why am I feeling this when I worked so hard on purpose
yes.
to prepare this stuff?
Yes. You know, I don't know if you ever heard this workbook I bought. It's called Loving Yourself Thin. And it's about, you know, weight loss and emotions and it kind of ties into all that. But, I'm wondering, since I don't sit down like with a gallon of ice cream, and I'm not that kind of eater, but I'm wondering if the way that I feel in connection with when I eat, just my emotions, does that keep the weight on myself? Because I'm not really the person that tend to like pig out and stuff.
Right.
Does that
well,
make sense or not?
It totally does. Okay. So okay. I am familiar with that book, and it's better than some of the other weight loss things out there, but it is still focused on action, right? Because it's not telling you what foods and how to love your body, the action. But the action is driven by feelings, and the feelings are driven by something that you think. And your thoughts can move circles around action.
Well, yeah, so like this is quantum physics. So thoughts are things, they're energy. I know I'm an energy practitioner.
Yep.
I mean, I do.
Yes.
That's what I work with,
right.
You know. So I'm talking to my body. My body's
yes.
a living being. I mean, the trillions of cells are intelligent, more intelligent than I am, than my mind
yes.
is.
Yes.
You know? Okay. Now I'm glad I'm talking about this because you're helping me. Me just bringing it out is coaxing all this stuff out of me to help me
yes.
see the bigger picture
yes.
that I it was unseen before, and I couldn't put it together by myself.
Yes. Well, and that's why I coach, because when this
yes.
was shown to me, it just, like, blossomed. I was like, oh, now I get it. Let me go to work.
I haven't
I
gotten it yet, but these little pieces are, it's like, it's,
little
together,
pieces.
It's in this beautiful, beautiful picture. You know,
you
and I
already,
can't wait to just get there.
You already know that everything starts with awareness. And
yes.
this work, it's not fast. For most people, it takes them a year to really be different. But they are drastically different. So it takes your mind about 3 months to buy into this. To like, okay, so I'm going to quit talking about what exercises I'm going to do. I might still exercise, but that's not where my solution is. My solution is, what do I think? How do I know what I think? Well, 3 months is kind of the buy-in where you go, yep, this is my path. And then it takes another 3 months to 9 months, depending on how much stuff you came in with or how much work you're putting in, to practice it and to let the old stuff seep back in and go, nope, that's not the way I do it anymore. And that real-world practice of using the tools.
You know what,
so
let me mention really quickly, and I know that we're short on time and I don't want to go over our time, but it, as an experiment, I've done this before. I've gone walking, and I really enjoy walking. I don't do enough of walking because I don't give myself permission, right, to care for myself. So
look
when
that.
I go walking, a couple of times I've done this experiment. I walked for a week, and while I was walking, it was my walking meditation. I visualized my body the way I wanted my body to be. And sure enough, in a week, I lost almost 2 sizes. I'm not kidding you. And this happened again this last time where I told you I lost like 15 pounds.
Right.
I was walking, and I told myself, this is, okay, we'll talk about permission slip. I gave myself permission to walk and not think about the stresses in my life. Just walk and enjoy nature. And I lost all this weight in a week and a half. And that's when I went to the doctor. She's like, oh, wow, you lost weight. And I was like, oh, my God, do I have cancer? Oh, my God, is there something wrong with me? You see? So
no, but
now I want this to be my everyday, being able to do that and just living that and not going back and forth. You understand?
I totally do. And your mind will follow you. That's a perfect example, but your mind will follow you. It only is tagged to the way you think now because that's all it knows. But your
neural pathways that have been created, right? These
neural
pathways have been created.
Yes.
And they've been shooting off these neurons for 44 years.
Yes.
And now it's going to change. Okay.
But if you show it something new, it's a machine. It likes repetition and it likes efficiency. So things it recognizes, it does easier, and it likes to fill in the gaps. It doesn't matter if the story's true or not. It fills in the gaps. It takes the details it has and fills in the gaps. And wherever you point it, that's where it's going to go. So if you point it at permission to walk, guess what will happen in your day? If you point it at letting go of the stress, if you point it at reading the text that your mother sent you over and over again, it'll go to pain. That's the power of this work. So, again, it's not fast work. It takes time, and there's not really any shortcuts through that, but it is permanent. I've not lost ground, and that was kind of my criteria as I started this 2 years ago. What the changes that happen are permanent. Okay, so let's go through the other sections.
Time, I put, I don't have enough time.
Never enough, okay?
There's never enough time. And that's the only thing I could really come up with right now for time, right now.
Okay. Think about it for a minute. Normally I'm going to slate 90 minutes for these calls. If you have to go before then, but I've got 90 minutes tonight, so we're not on a tight clock unless you are.
Okay.
Okay, so Janie's answers were difficult to manage, extremes, either too much or not enough, that it's filled up by must-dos, there's never any left over, that she always has to be doing something, that time is not valuable if she's still.
That makes sense. I resonate with those two that she put. That resonates with me. But I'm not saying I want to copy what she's saying, but it really does because my time, now that it's not filled up with my mom because I already set clear boundaries with her and I told her, you know what, when I go over there and she starts her bitching at me, excuse my language, I walk out the door, bye, and I don't come back. And I leave her like that. You know, she has ladies there for her. So my time was really filled up with my mom. And now that it's not filled up with my mom, I don't know what to do with myself because I run a partnership with my brother. Remember, he molested me, okay?
Right.
A family partnership. And my own properties. So I'm usually busy running back and forth here, there, and my son even told me. He's 20 years old. He came over a couple days ago. He goes, Mom, I was sitting there watching TV. He goes, I've never seen you just sit there and relax. He said, it makes me happy. So now I'm coming up with there is more time than before, but I don't know what to do with my time. So
you don't know what to do with it, right? So
yeah,
when you don't
do with it.
So then what happens is your mind just trolls on that same old stuff, right? When you're still, your mind just plays that reel over and over and over and over. Yeah, so too much time is as much of a problem as not enough time.
Right.
In the way that we know how to do it in the beginning.
And also when there's too much time, then I feel guilty because I'm not doing enough with the time that I have.
Yes.
So what do you recommend? How can I word that for number two?
Okay, so I read just what you said to me there, that I feel guilty if I have too much time.
Okay.
You can tap back into that. So think about reading this 2 months from now. You want to be able to tap back into what you're feeling today.
Okay, got you.
Okay.
Okay.
And that you're having to learn how to relax, that you don't understand that concept of stillness.
Does that have to do with time or, that would be okay, right?
Time, yeah, yes.
Okay.
So what I'm going to offer to you is that stillness is going to become one of your most valuable possessions, because your brain needs that white space to recharge, to untangle all the things that get tangled up. That's why meditation is so important, okay? Because it lets your mind just decompress. And most of us don't have, there's no such thing as stillness. We've got our phone in our hand, we've got the computer screen, there's constant noise, and stillness has no value in society. Okay, so feels really awkward at first, but it's one of the most useful skills in this work set. Okay, so how about sleep? What do you believe about sleep?
Sleep. I don't know. I never really think about sleep.
Okay. Do you feel like you sleep enough, or that you don't get enough, or
I feel like I sleep enough.
Okay. No challenges there?
No challenges with sleep. No, I feel like I sleep enough. I feel good with sleep.
Okay. So work it in the opposite direction. Going to sleep is easy. I am in total control over the time that I sleep. What would be the positive side then of the things that you believe?
I feel good when I sleep. I love to sleep, you know.
Okay. Is sleep an escape in any way?
Is it what?
An escape.
No.
A way to check out.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So let me use this as an example. The things that are working in our lives, we never question, right? If it's working, we don't question what we think, the way that these other places where we're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are working are still, you still act in a certain fashion based on what you think. So this is an example of how your thinking works for you. Like, I think sleep is valuable. I can go to bed any time I want. I am not at the mercy of another person's schedule. All of those things are things that you think that let you sleep normally, and that set of thoughts works for you. It makes your life work the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
So the same process is happening, whether it's a negative or a positive. We just don't usually look at the things that are working.
Right.
Okay. Your mind works the same. What you've heard people say, how you think about one thing is how you think about everything. And that's true. Mm-hmm. It works the same way. Just some things we are positive and we never examine those. Okay. So I would say you're the exception to the rule there. Sleep is usually a really big area for women. So,
it's something deeper within me that's not coming out right now. It could be.
I don't know. I'm used to hearing, Jamie's answers were never enough, hard to get out of, so she has a really hard time waking, not as restorative as it should be.
Yeah, I don't feel any of that. I really don't feel anything that you would want to call negative to being associated with my sleep pattern.
Okay, good, because that has a huge amount to do with weight as well.
Okay.
Sleep, and not enough water are two of the factors that are usually big players in extra weight. Okay.
I'll just leave sleep open for now. If anything comes up, then I will write it down or write positive.
Or write
about
positive.
Sleep.
Yeah. Write positive. Just write the word positive, so you'll know you did that part.
Okay.
And then we'll look and see how you feel whenever we do this again in December.
Okay.
And then the final one is, what do you believe is true about the current version of your body?
I hate my body. I'm sorry, body. I'm sorry. I love you. I really love you. But I look in the mirror. I can't even look in the mirror. You know, I cannot even look in the mirror. I shy away from mirrors. I shy away from taking photos. And this has gone on pretty much, I would say, my whole life.
Okay.
So
what do you feel? Well, I wrote both of those. I hate my body, and I can't look at myself in the mirror.
And then I feel bad because my poor body, you know, the other day I looked in the mirror and I cried and I told my body, I'm sorry, I love you. I really do. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, I don't.
And I
told my body, thank you. You've carried me for 44 years. I mean, I have had to live on my own. As my mom kicked me out of the house at 12, and she brought prostitutes in the house, and I was raped, and all this stuff my poor body went through and suffered, but it's so strong, you know?
Right. Okay. But this is a good example, again. Your brain, the strongest thing it believes is I hate my body. That's why the other thoughts don't stick. The ones that say I love my body, and you do on a level, but the thing that you use to make decisions is I hate my body.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that's the beauty of this work, because we're not trying to trick your brain into thinking something different. We are looking at why we think that and then truly making a different choice. We're not tricking it. We're not burying the way that you really feel and putting rainbows and unicorns on top of it. We are acknowledging, yes, I hate my body, and there's a reason that I do.
So I hate my body, and then I put, I don't like looking at my body in the mirror. Would that be current versions of my body? Is that what that means, current version?
Yeah. Current version, I mean the one that's talking to me.
Okay.
So what do you think about this, the as you sit today at the size and weight you are, what do you think about that body?
I hate my body.
Do you hate one part of it more than another?
My belly, you know, my big belly, my saggy boobs,
right,
and
both,
I would
right,
know that
both
belly
both.
And belly and boobs have a lot to do with nurturing that I never got from my
mm-hmm.
mom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So put.
So I would like both belly and boobs.
Okay.
Do you, if someone says you're beautiful, can you hear that, or do you shy away from that?
No, I shy away from that.
Okay, so I would write, I can't accept that I'm beautiful, or I don't see myself as beautiful.
Okay.
Do you, a big one for me was invisibility. Because I had this big body, I wanted to be invisible. I was a brain, a really smart brain, in this body that I was just stuck with.
I would say I do not like to make myself the center of attention because of my weight, which is, to me, overweight. You know, I'm 50 pounds overweight, I would say. I'm 192 right now. And, I shy away. I shy away because of that. Yeah, so should I put that?
So I would put that. I want to hide, or I don't want to be the center of attention.
Yes, I want to hide. That's perfect. That's exactly what it is. I want to hide. Okay.
And is your value in your, so we're not coming in valuing our body. So is your value in your intellect or in
yes.
your service to other people, or what's
in
the value
in my
part
intellect
of you?
And in my service? That's valuable.
Okay.
But it's very difficult for me to value anything that I do at all.
Because I'm
not worthy, because I don't deserve it.
So write those two things down for sure. I'm not worthy, and I don't deserve
to be valued. Okay, praise.
Or to be valued, yeah.
This is awesome.
Okay. Yeah, it's good work. You have a lot of insight to the way that you think. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you the tools of how to change that.
That's going to be, I have a hard time making the connection with myself. It's easy with other people. It's a lot easier, but with myself,
yeah.
maybe because I don't want to go deeper. And obviously it's painful, you know. And so I'm really excited. I'm really, really
okay.
in it. And I'm not scared at all. I'm really excited to be
Yay.
Going deeper and to just
Good.
Really, like, shine and just be my normal self and just embrace myself and love myself and value myself, and because I am worthy and I do deserve it, and I know
you
that.
You
know, I'm awesome.
You
I'm beautiful. I'm everything. I'm sexy. I'm all that. But it's very hard to get rid of that negative thinking when it's been there for so long.
Actually, Sexy is a good question to ask. Do you feel sexy in this body?
I don't, but my husband tells me that I am. He's like, you're so hot, and I'm like, I don't believe him, you know?
So write that down, because that's a big one.
I don't feel sexy?
I don't feel sexy in this body. Because what happens is we shut a piece of ourselves off. And we are hardwired for sex. And when you take that piece away from life or diminish it, it's going to pop out somewhere else, and most of the time it's in eating.
Well, and I don't want to have sex as often because...
And then you don't want to have sex as often because you were eating.
And I'm embarrassed. And even though those are my thinking and not his thinking, you know? Yeah, totally.
So I am finally in a good love relationship. I have 3 divorces, and my belly is considerably bigger than yours. And my husband is the first person I ever knew who thought bellies were sexy. And over time, he convinced me. I was like, no, there's no way. He's like, nope. Men look at bellies completely differently than women.
I love that. And I'm so happy that you found that man. And it's true. And you know what? I think the base thing is I don't love myself. You know, I obviously don't love myself, because if I love myself, I would accept myself the way that I am, and I don't.
This is really
important.
Yes. So tell me, what are you able to, let's do some housekeeping as we get ready to kind of wind around to the end. Are you able to get all the information online? You're actually, whether you've looked at it or not, you're able to get in and see the module?
Oh, yeah. I already read last night. I went to, and I think I pulled it up here. I already did some last night.
Okay.
I'm already at the Art of Self-Kindness.
Yes. So when you listen to that, when you read it or listen to that, you're going to see a lot of the pieces that we've talked about today. And we'll be talking about that during our next conversation. Let me ask the next question. So Jamie she had something going on tonight work-wise. And so when I designed this program, I designed it with 2 phone calls a week so that if you were at a place, because I didn't know who's going to join, but if you're at a place where you need a heightened level of contact, there was space for that. So we're slated to have, I will show up for a phone call on Tuesday night and on Saturdays at noon. And so she and I are going to get together this coming Saturday at noon, and we're going to be talking about this Art of Self-Kindness. So first of all, do you need 2 phone calls a week? Is 1 enough? Like, what's your intuition about the level of support you
need? No, one is enough. I mean, 1 is enough. Yeah.
Right. Are you able to come with us on this Saturday at noon so that we can all kind of sync up?
Totally.
Yeah? Okay, cool. That'll put you in. We'll start. So that's the first real module. So you guys have not missed any work with each other. On Saturday at noon, we'll dial back into this number. We'll go through all of the information that's in that Art of Self-Kindness. We'll go through the worksheets. So if you could come to the call with as much of the worksheets done as possible, that'll give us the substance that we need for that conversation. And then I will leave the Saturdays as an option. So we'll get together on Tuesday night. We'll talk about whatever the subject matter is. You'll have access to me by text or Facebook 24/7. I'm always connected. And if you need the Saturday call, that's always in play. If you need it, if not, we'll let it pass.
Okay, and the Saturday call, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to send an email with the information, the number to call in, and all that.
Yes. And I'll send it an hour before and then 30 minutes before. Tonight, I lost track of time.
I was like 5 minutes. Oh my God, rushing upstairs. My husband was like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "Clean up the kitchen. I gotta go." do I have any homework besides what I am gonna do? I did not finish all the worksheets on the first module, so I'm gonna go back and re-listen to them. And I did print out all the worksheets last night, so I can go back and listen and do the worksheets and have that done, and then I can start on the Art of Self-Kindness. Is there any homework that I should be doing?
Just the worksheets that are posted with the lessons, and I'll give you an extra incentive. I didn't remember to tell her this, but if you decide to continue coaching at the end of this program, if you decide to become a one-on-one client, I will give you a 10% discount if you have done all of the worksheets in this program.
Okay.
We'll take 10% off of whatever that is because it shows me your investment. And it also gives you a higher place of starting out that one-on-one work.
Right.
So the reason to do that is because you're trying to solve a problem in your life, but that extra incentive is sometimes what gets us to do things that we might not find time for otherwise.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally invested. I mean, not only did I invest money, but
I love it.
This is like the last leg of my healing journey. I mean,
yes.
You know, I mean, there's always more layers and stuff, but I have gone like so deep, and this is like so important to me. I'm just so ready. Woo, I'm excited. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And that's what, again, I surely love a paycheck, but it's watching that growth and getting to take the ride with you. I'll tell you a little bit, just in the time we have, the little bit of time we have left, about two of the people who are on the other side of their healing. I was talking to one of them today. She's been my client for 2 years, and we were laughing. This is our third Thanksgiving together, and we were reliving what a mess she was 3 years ago. She was completely caught up in family drama. And today, as we were having our call, she started to present a situation to me. And before I could tell her or give her input, she said, "Wait, I want to tell you how I handled it." And she used every tool I've ever taught her, and she's so at peace going into these holidays. She said, I manage myself. I don't think about what I eat. I just eat. Like, life became easier. Like, I got the handbook. Somebody showed me what the rules are.
Exactly. And I don't know that yet, but I know that these tools are going to help me make the connections and understand all of this in a much larger picture that I can't picture right now. But that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I got
into
shamanic healing and all that. I don't know. But, you know, once you start practicing and doing, it just comes together so beautifully and ta-da!
Yes. And there you go. Exactly. All right. So any questions before we get ready to sign off from each other this evening?
No.
All right. Well, it's my pleasure to meet you. And hopefully, since we're so close, at some point I'll meet you in person. And,
yes, that would be wonderful.
As you go along, I'm going to run this program again in December. So as you talk about this growth or people say, "I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing different," because that's what usually happens, we'll run this program again. So if you know folks that are a good match, I'd be
definitely
honored to share
contact information. Definitely. I totally would share. Share the love,
awesomeness.
Honey. You're doing a big service work to humanity. Just remember that. This is service, even though, you know, your service is valuable. And
thank you.
I'm very grateful to you. Thank you so much.
I am humbled, and I am so excited to find women who see the value in this work. So it's a mutual admiration society. I'm going to let go of you for this evening. Saturday at noon, we'll get
Saturday
together,
noon.
You, me, and Janie, and we'll take the first step in this adventure.
All right, Melinda.
All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good night, Gabriella.
Okay, you can call me Gabby. You can call me Gabby.
Gabby. Okay.
Or Gabriella, whichever one you like. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.